is your gifted desire? Patch said, I want to help people. And see, in the kingdom of God, you were meant to be shackle-free. Your unique design and the way that you uniquely shine, shimmering for others to experience. In the kingdom of God, your eyes are going to have to be enhanced to be able to take in more light without being blinded. Okay, so look around at each other right now. Just look around the room. Okay? If you could see each other as he sees you, you would be blinded by each other. You are a work of art. Do you believe that? Do you believe you're designed by God as a work of art? Well, let's try it on. Okay, everybody say right now with me, I am a work of art. Okay, let me try it again. A little bit more. Do you believe it? Ready? One, two, three. I am a work of art. Do you believe that's biblical? Yeah, it is biblical. God has designed you. You are a work of art. And in the kingdom of God, you will not need to hold back your design. You will not need to hold back and be ashamed of your light. You were designed as a work of art meant to shine. And this is why Jesus says, you're the light. You're the light. Famous author and philosopher Alexander Solzhenitsyn, he knew there was something important, something critical, something crucial about finding your unique gifting, your gifted desire. And it wasn't until later in life that he said, finally, what I do is who I am. What would it be like? What would it be like to know your unique design? Clearly, to know what you were uniquely made to do, and then bring that, offer it to God's kingdom and to the world around it. Okay, so I want you to look around again. Look around again. What would it be like to have a body full of people, a church full of people who know their unique design, their unique gifting, how they uniquely shine God to the world? And who are fully, they're bringing that wherever they go. What would that be like? How would it be different from what we normally experience at church? Any ideas? We need another building. Yes. Yeah. Why? Why would there be more people? Dance party. Maybe. Maybe there would be joy where there wasn't joy. Maybe all the giftings and all of the unique glories shining would make this place feel so alive, so full of life, that it would be like a giant magnet. I'm down for that. And well, that's what today's about. Patch said, I know what I want to do with my life. I want to help people. And there were certainly, he became a doctor, and there were certainly other doctors who wanted to help people, but Patch wanted to truly know them and help them. And the difference was like light and darkness, like as that scene where the doctors are in there, and he's like, what's her name? And the guy's like, like that's important. You see his face? Like, why is that, Marjorie. And did you see her face when he said, hi, Marjorie? It's like light and darkness. It's like salt on bland food. When you arrive in your unique gifting, your gifted design. Jerry started talking about this last week. What is your gifted desire? Your gifted desire. So today's question is, do you know what you want to do with your life? do you know what your gifted desire is? And we're going to give you a chance to ask God what that is. A lot of people don't know what that is. They don't know what their specific gifting is, their unique gifting is. And so we're gonna spend some time just listening to the Lord on that in a little bit. Gifted desire is always about future. It's never about past. It's always about wanting to bring more to this world for good. And John Morrissey said this, when your memories exceed your dreams, you're headed for where? When your memories exceed your dreams, what do you dream about your gifting, your unique design, and its effect on this world? If you were to arrive fully who you were meant to be, your unique design, and you were to not hold back but release it, what would the effect be? What would you want to bring? Start there. What would you love to bring? Anybody willing to risk and say something? What would you really love to bring? Not saying you're ready to do that tomorrow, but what would you love to bring? Yeah. Physical and emotional healing. Good. Yes. So one of us wants to bring things. Anybody else? Yeah.
I want to bring no inhibitions, that we can come to each other with no inhibitions.
Okay. You'd want to help others maybe release inhibitions.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Mm-hmm. Whatever our paradigm is that we're viewing things through.
Okay. Good. How about you? What do you want to bring? Yeah.
Hope for people who don't have hope.
A lot of people who don't have hope. A lot. That's good. Anybody else?
Beauty.
You want to bring beauty. Yeah. Good. All right. Jesus has some things for you today, some gifts he wants to give you. Psalm 139, David says, "For you created my inmost being. You, God, knit me together in my mother's womb." Anybody knit? I don't know anything about knitting. Anybody know anything about knitting? Okay, so some of you in the back, some of you. How does this knitting thing, how does this help us understand the point here? Okay? "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb." What's the author trying to tell us when he uses knitting as the illustration here? Okay, knitting is always purposeful. You don't just knit randomly. Okay? Yeah. Okay, so Lawrence is saying he thinks that the meaning of knitting here is binding together and pulling together, right? Which is what knitting kind of does when we think of knitting, too. But yeah, that's good. Yeah. Wow. That's profound, because I don't think I've gotten a lot of things knitted and handed to me, and they've always been very unique, like from the heart of the person who gave it. And so could that be a part of this, that God from his heart carefully from him put you together with unique design? I think with knitting, if it is anything to do with regular knitting, every loop that's made requires the involvement of the knitter, It all happens one at a time. And the picture that came to my mind when I read this was God uniquely put together every loop of who you are on purpose, specifically designed with his imprint. You have a unique design. And he says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Are you wonderfully made? Do you believe that? See, part of the biggest problem people have is they don't know that that's true. It's okay for you to say, I am wonderfully made. In fact, let's say that right now, out loud, okay? Out loud, I am wonderfully made. When you speak out, you create just like God did. Let's try it again. I am wonderfully made. Doesn't that feel good? Say it again. I am wonderfully made. Thank you, God, for making me wonderfully made. Okay, unique design, every loop is thought through. A wise man once said, hard work is good, but hard work without heart is not good. And so many of us have gotten into a place where we just live our lives in hard work, but without heart. And we get along in the way down the road and we don't realize we've lost heart because we're just working. And your heart has a certain design. Loops were put together. And work without your heart engaged ends up being a dead-end street. And so if you're on that street, you probably want to start thinking about how to turn around. I love Patch Adams' example here. He simply wanted to bring more life than you can get out of a prescription bottle and hand to a patient. And so he does what? He learns names. And he organizes people to make noodles. What difference is that going to make in the world? All the difference in the world, isn't it? Did you see the life when all these people are standing around waiting for this cute little old lady with the, you know, and they're like, and her face, you know? It was just incredible. That's the kind of thing. See, when you're in your unique design and you're bringing it, it enables others to experience life all around you. If you decide to shine, everybody else around you experiences life. You remember last week Jerry spoke about this, and he began talking about gifted desire, right? And Elle, could you come on up here? I want to just tell you a little bit the story. So Jerry shared this in men's. We went down to California for this boot camp, and we're driving along, and Elle is Elle's unique design is multifaceted. But as you can see, he's just an amazing guy. But one of his things is he loves to use rhyme and rapping to get truth over. Okay, and especially loves to rap about Jesus. And so here's Jerry in the car, and they're driving in the car. And as you heard last week when Jerry was sharing, he was like, you know, I'm really this extrovert. I get energy and life from being with people and expression. He says, I love big group meetings and milling around. I frankly don't like that personally, but he really does. And he was telling me that, as he was sharing in last week and then at men's, how he has been sort of cast in this role as the CIA agent who doesn't share and who's sort of this analytical guy. And so now he's on this drive for 17 hours with Elle. And Elle is very expressive, and Elle loves to rap, right? And so they're in the car, and everybody's going around in their car. Elle's starting it, and everybody's taking a turn rapping. And Jerry's going, oh God, please let this end before it gets to me.
I skipped Jerry the first time. I was like, I don't think Jerry wants to do this. I don't even know if he can, so I'm just going to let him off the hook.
So he's been in this, so Jerry's been in this place of trying to shed this analytical persona and get into his true expressive heart and who he really is. And because of Elle shining with his desire and his gifted desire, Jerry decides to enter in. And he describes that hour in that drive as the absolute highlight of the entire trip. It released him in ways because he starts rapping. Can you picture Jerry Griffin rapping? I mean, it's nuts, right? So I just we're going to just have a demonstration here. I ask Elle to come up. Give us a couple words about Jesus.
I'll get him.
You go, buddy.
So I'll just say that Jerry jumped in the cipher himself. I didn't push him to do that. I'm really good at getting people to rap, but I was like, Jerry's kind of different. He's in that 1%. He did awesome, though. He did well. So Randy's talking about gifted desire, which for me used to be like a twisted tire. I got on my knees and asked God to lift me higher. And when the Holy Spirit hit me, I was equipped to light the fire. I was lifted like the spire that I now rap under. And I've been hearing the name of some guy named Jesus. What does he mean to you? I really want to know. Let's see, because I can't rap by myself. I need your help. So when I point to you, give me one word about what Jesus means to you.
Love.
Christ came from above to the earth to give us love. It runs in our veins, and we call that our blood. When we were knit together deep in our mother's womb, it's because Christ came down and pushed the stone from the tomb.
Friend.
Christ is the most true friend. He's the one who will bend over backwards. He doesn't need an asterisk. You can ask him for help. Faith. Faith, like Christ the babe who lays in the manger. Sometimes I come to church with a lot of anger, but Christ took that away and I put it on a hanger. Strength. We need strength. When my mind goes crazy, I think about robbing banks. Really, I like this Robin, Patch Adams.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
That was so fun. All right. So we're going to have a rap clinic right after service. Elle's coming up. Thank you so much, bro. Here's the thing is, your gifted desire sets others free. When you arrive, it sets others free. Do you feel a little bit more free right now than you did before Elle came up? Some of you feel a little disturbed, but... No. All right. Your gifting, your uniqueness is given to you so that you can bring life as it was meant to be, so that you can bring the heaven to earth, so that you could bring the kingdom of God. It's not just for you. I'm about to rap. It's not just for you. It's funny. It just like comes on you. I'm resisting it. It's not just for you. It's to bring his kingdom to the earth. And that's a weird feeling, man. I feel like the spirit of rap is coming on me. all right. It's also, your gifted desire is also a map to where you fit into the kingdom of God. And a lot of people don't realize this. A lot of people don't realize that their gifted desire, the thing that they just love to do, that they're gifted to do, is... can often be very tied to their spiritual gifting and what they're meant to bring to the kingdom of God. And so, for example, Seth Clemens 4 years ago goes to BJ and he says, okay, so I'm a project manager at Microsoft, I'm a strategist, but I don't see how I can do anything for the kingdom of God. And so BJ's like, well, let's get together. So they went to Denny's and they from 10 to 2 and they just started thinking through how does your gifting and your gifted desire fit the kingdom of God? And they started connecting it to youth ministry. And what happened was Seth's strategist and project management, BJ would say to you, took the youth ministry, combined that with his gifting, took the youth ministry from 25 to 80. Because they started to think deliberately about how to transform young people into kings and queens. And then that wrote this whole plan that they've been running, and it's been going awesome. See, your gifted desire, you may not realize how powerfully effective it can be for the kingdom of God, because you're like Seth and you're like, well, what would that have to do with the kingdom of God? I'm a really good project manager. Well, I'm really good I'm a great servant. I'm a great cook. You know, whatever it is, but how does that affect the kingdom of God? Oh, it does. Your gifting is made to bring the kingdom, and you may not even realize it. Jerry shared this verse with us last week. For we are God's what? See this theme? It's throughout Scripture. You are a work of his hand. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for you to do. How long has it, the things that you're supposed to do, been prepared? A while. There's no right answer here. Right, but they've been prepared in advance. What you were intended to do and bring has been thought through by God, and he's prepared for you to do that. Key passage that we want to look at is 1 Corinthians 12. These are the lists of spiritual gifts that we see in Scripture, and they're quite amazing. To each one of us, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? The common good. What does that mean? So it benefits everybody. It's not just for you. It's for everyone. Each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. So that's like a special amount of faith. That's like a gift of faith. To another, gifts of healing. To another, miraculous powers. Another, prophecy. Another, distinguishing between spirits. Another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, interpretation of tongues. And these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determines. Now, a parallel passage to this is Romans 12. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, and the word prophesying can mean in 6 months there's going to be a flood, da, 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 that kind of prophesying, which happened in Scripture a lot. But a lot of people interpret the word prophesy, it's actually speak forth is the literal translation. It can mean just speaking truth or preaching. Let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, some have the gift of serving. Let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Any of those ring a bell for you? Any of those you go, that's mine. That's my gift. Or those two. Have you looked at these before and wondered? What's your gift? What is your gift? Okay, God's prepared good works for you to do, and he's gifted you by the Spirit of God. What's your gifted desire? What's your calling? What are you made to do? Do you have any idea? Raise your hand if you like, I know what my spiritual gifts are. Honest, only raise them up high enough so that people can see. I know for sure. Pretty sure. Okay, well, now look around. How many hands do you see? About half? Half maybe? First hour, a third. And first hour is full of a bunch older people than you. So, except Mark. But and so those people are even older and they don't know. And it's interesting. I was surprised how, you know, a third, first hour, half, second hour. If only half or a third of the church knows what its spiritual gifting is, do you think that's a bad thing? Why? Yet we're crippled. We are crippled. We're walking. Here's the way we're going here. Okay, I'm gonna break my leg. Yeah, because what's the next? Here's that's the list. What's the next passage say here in 1 Corinthians 12? Now the body's not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. So even if you're a foot, like you don't. Because if you don't feel like being a foot or you don't want your gifting, it doesn't change that you are still needed. If an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, It would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But if in fact God, has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as what? He wanted them to be. If we're all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. Point, if you think other people's giftings better than your own, recognize the body can't fully function without you. Without you, we're crippled. Without you arriving, we can't walk. Okay, next part. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. So he's got a couple different tracks here. Track one is the guy who's going, I'm not an eye, so I'm a loser, right? And he's like, no, we desperately need you. And then we got the other side who's like, I'm an eye, I rock, and you're a loser. That's this. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head, I think it's supposed to be hand. No, it's a head. And the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. Point, if you think your gifts and part to play is better or more important than others, you need to recognize that if the parts that are behind the scenes fall, we all fall. Every person is critical for the body to function correctly. Now, part of the reason I think that the church in America is in decline is because, like everything else we do, we hire it done. And so we hire the superstar seminary pastor people or whatever, and they're supposed to do the ministry, and we're not functioning in our gifts or bringing them to the table. My little survey, half of you know maybe what your gifts are. A third, first hour. I don't think that's what it was intended to be. I don't think that's how God wanted this thing to run. We absolutely, desperately need every part functioning. So, what's your gifted desire? What's your gifted desire? Here's the list of spiritual gifts. Psalm 16, how can you find out what your gifts are? Psalm 16, you have made known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, David said. We can do a spiritual gift survey and pass out surveys, or we can ask God, what's my spiritual gifting? And what I want to do now is just take some time to do that. How do you arrive in your spiritual gifting? First of all, you bring your desire. You got to want to know it. You got to want to know what your spiritual gifting is. But even more than that, in 1 Corinthians 14, when he's talking about the gifts, Paul actually says this interesting phrase at the end. He says, desire the greater gifts. Desire the greater gifts. What's the implication of that? Some gifts are greater. We can ask God for a particular gift. Because he wouldn't tell you to desire the greater gifts if you couldn't ask for them. So it's okay to desire, and it's okay to desire them. So your prayer right now might be, God, I want this gift. Would you give it to me? Your prayer might be, God, would you just reveal what is my unique gifting? How have you designed me? What do I bring? What was I meant to bring? So let's just take some time right now with God. And I want to just invite you. This all begins with surrender. You can't, all of this assumes a surrendered life, okay? I'm assuming you've surrendered to his leadership. You can't really operate in your spiritual gifting if you're not surrendered to his leadership. Being a member of the kingdom of God means you first do this to the king. But after that, then it's like, how am I meant to run? So can I just begin by asking him and let you have some time to just listen to him speaking to your heart, okay? And if this is new to you, you're not used to hearing God speak, just quiet your heart and try to listen to your deep thoughts. and see if he speaks to you through that inner voice. So, Jesus, we surrender to you. King, we surrender ourselves to you. And I'm willing to follow you and submit myself to your leadership. And now, Lord, how am I uniquely designed? Would you reveal to me, whether it be from that list or something else, Lord, would you reveal to me what my gifted desire is? Lord, what are my spiritual gifts? What do I bring? Anybody get anything? Yeah? Ah. That you should be moving. That's awesome. So, what does it mean? I know you can have more than one. I think that would mean inviting the Lord more deeply into how do I play this out? How do I bring this? So does that answer? Or do you have more question there? Okay. Yeah. Wonderful question. Very different opinions on that. I don't know. But I do know that I don't believe the gifts just bounce around in the moment. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is this, let him do it. If it's that, let him do it. And so, and then 1 Corinthians 12 says, each gift is given as the Spirit decides. And so and then he says, do all have this gift? Do all have that gift? Do all have the other gift? And the implication is clearly no. Not everyone. 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 are your study passages for this. I believe the scripture is clear that we don't all have all the gifts, and that they don't bounce around. But you may have a gift that's manifesting now and a different gift that's manifesting later. But it doesn't mean that first gift is gone. So, anybody hear any of their specific gift being revealed? Anybody go, God said this to me about my gift. I'm this. I got this. Yeah?
I felt encouraged. I was kind of sort of thought it was teaching, but I actually felt it was encouraging.
Mm.
When I think about the teaching that I have done, I was actually more encouraging than teaching. And so.
That's awesome.
But it felt like I was hearing encouraging.
We did this in the pastor's team. We met together and tried this. It's like, okay, what's your gift? We listen to the Lord, what's your gift? And everybody was embarrassed to share, because it feels like self-promotion. And so beware of that and just go, you know what? No. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Jeff.
I was also getting the impression that I was encouraging.
Encouraging. Okay, so would anybody who knows Jeff Colt, would you agree that his gifting's encouraging?
Yeah.
It's true. So the first step, okay, first step is ask God, be in this question with the Lord, what is my gifting? I was really surprised. I thought it was going to be teaching or, you know, preaching or pastoring, but I said, well, you know, what is my gifting, Lord? And he has said, I've gifted you in leadership and bringing vision and breathing life. And that doesn't mean that I now am the greatest leader because God has gifted me. It means that's the area I need to study. That's where I need to focus and grow. That's what I need to work on and enhance. So God may tell you your gifting is X. Now start opening that box up. Okay? So first step is bring your desire to God. Go to God with this. Second step is risk in the direction of your gifted desire. Risk in the direction of your gifted desire. How did Patch Adams risk in the direction of his gifted desire? He went against the mold. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to be a doctor, but now I'm watching how these doctors are functioning, and that's not my gifted desire. I'm going to be this rebel and do it different, okay? How else did he risk in the direction of his gifted desire? Med school late in life. Is that a risk? Is that expensive? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He also walked out on the doctor that was saying, you know, I'm not going to medically release you.
Yeah.
He knew what he needed to do, and he did it regardless of whatever he was saying.
He stood his ground. Yeah, good, good. I've asked Keith Lango. Keith, come on up here, bro. Keith is Keith and Kim and their family have been coming to Adventure for this past year, and he was sharing with me recently how he is risking in the direction of his gifted desire. He wasn't using those terms, but I'm like, dude, you got to tell this in church because this is perfect for what we're talking about. So share about your gifted desire and then how you're taking some risks.
Sure. I can say I was also in the car with the rapping L.
Yeah, that's right.
That was awesome.
It was awesome.
It was a fun time. the risk thing, yeah, it's a pretty big deal. Just kind of give a thing. Looking at that list, I've had a spiritual gift. I've known it for a while that mine is teaching. Teaching and prophesying in a sense of just speaking forth. I have the ability to unpack things and arrange them in a way that's very easy for people to digest and just understand them. I can take concepts and just do that. And I've been gifted in that, and I've used that in lots of different contexts. I've taught Bible classes. I've been a pastor before. I've taught for a living in other places. So that's a gift that inside of a church context had a certain way of playing itself out. And then there's this desire on the other side of me, which the desire in all my life has been storytelling. It's always just been something I've been good at and have desired a lot. And I've made a living in the storytelling business for almost the last 20 years. Worked for a little while on, you know, VeggieTales and stuff like that. So I've had the chance to take my desire to tell God's stories plus my giftedness and my design. There's been a time in my life for about 4 years where that overlapped, but the vast majority of the time it hasn't. Lately, the Lord has really just been kind of pushing me to make movies, which is kind of really strange. Not just like go make them, but like tell his stories through making films, like actual, real, honest to goodness films. So this past year, I stepped into that a little bit and kind of haltingly, embarrassingly made a 35-minute short film. And at first, it was just kind of like hiding it and all kinds of messages of shame and who are you and what do you think you're doing and what has that got to do? That's just you. That's just your glory. You want to do your thing. And, you know, it's all about you. And this, you know, God doesn't need you to tell stories. He's got the Bible. Okay, I go to a church that shows about 10 movie clips a week. So what do you think? It is the street corner preacher of our day, is the cinema. It's the language, it's the cultural language in which we communicate stories and thoughts. Jesus did it in his day, sitting on a mountainside, talking about seed and sheep and prodigal sons. And so he's been pushing me in this direction, and lots of reasons not to do it. I started off with a little DSLR, made a short film this year, and first really embarrassing, and finally had to, God forced me to ask other people into it, and he wouldn't let my choices be comfortable. And that's almost done, and maybe I will show it here soon. But now he wants me to take the next step and go farther. I've been praying about this, and it's been validated. And so on the line here, he's like, step into this, go into this. And I'm like, okay, I can't do that with this little dinky camera and this little cheap microphone I got. I can't do that. So I've gone, and the Lord has made attention to me that, hey, you could buy a real cinema camera that they use for like real movies, and gosh, the ones that aren't brand new are actually pretty affordable, but they're still pretty expensive. So one of the validations was my lovely wife Kim saying yes. So we bought like some cinema equipment. So and it's stepping into it. The bigger risk for me is actually standing up here and telling you people this stuff. For me, I could gladly just go buy this and just do it off in the corner and hide. But stepping into it and being out in front and saying, yeah, God wants me to tell his stories through movies. It doesn't line up with what we think. Like that, the list up there didn't say make a movie. But I guess my word, this morning I was praying, Lord, what do you want me to say? And the thing was, your desire and your gifting has the spiritual gift in it, but it may not reflect itself in a church context the way you think. So that's what I wanted to share. So I talked too long, didn't I?
No, it's perfect.
Okay.
Thank you. Awesome. So teaching and prophesying through film is how Jesus taught, through story, right? Amazing. So, and he spent some money buying equipment. Risk in the direction of your gifted desire. That's step two. You start taking risks. You step out. And step three, look for validation. Validation of God and others. Validation of God and others. I step out. I take some risks. I'm looking for God to help me and to validate. Is this right? Is this the right step? And then I can also tell with my gifted desire whether or not I can like actually put a guitar on. You know, I can tell partly from the validation of others. You know, whether I'm in my gifted desire. right? And so, let me see here. Oh, I can't do that right. Okay. Am I in my gift of desire? Jeff's like, yes, you are. So, I would love to play and sing worship in church. It is not my gift of desire. Can I play? Yeah. Mediocrely. Can I sing? Not as good as I can play. Can I hit notes? Here's the thing is, could I go get training and really work at it? And this is everything. I'm going to spend my time, voice lessons. Right? Yes. But I know that I would not put the time and effort into it that would be required because I don't have enough desire. See, it's different. My gift of desire that's been validated by God is leading and speaking. I can play and sing poorly, okay? But because that's not my validated by others' gifted desire, now it's validated by God. He loves it when I play and sing to him, right? But since it's not my validated by others' gifting, should I just close up my guitar and put it in the attic and be done? No. No, not at all. Because God has given me that to worship him with, you know? And maybe participate. Once in a while I get to, you know, lead a youth thing or something with the guitar when somebody's missing in action. I guess here's the thing is, when it comes to the validation of people, it becomes a very, very tricky thing, okay? Because the validation of people can definitely be the voice of the Lord saying, this is what you're meant to do. The invalidation of people can be the Lord saying, this isn't what you're supposed to do. Or it can just be the enemy recruiting them to be resistance against your gift of desire. Which is it? How do you know? How can you tell? When you have a combination of the two? Do you think God would ever lead you into your gift of desire, validate it, and then others would invalidate it? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, I agree. Combination of the two definitely is something to be looking for, but it's tricky. You have to walk with God in this. You have to listen to the Lord. You have to... Okay, remember last week, Jerry showed a clip from the film October Sky with Homer Hickam, who became the designer of the space shuttle, okay? And as a boy, he just wanted to... He saw Sputnik going overhead, and he wanted to build rockets, and he decided he wanted to build rockets. But what you didn't see in the film was he hates math. I want to be a rocket scientist who hates and can't do math, okay? And he faces opposition after opposition. His dad doesn't want to do it. Even his principal is like, boy, you should be in the coal mines, you know? And you know, he decides, no, I'm going to do it anyway. And you saw the clip where he lands his rocket in his dad's office. And so then his dad says, I don't want to see these things on company property. So Homer's like, I won't be stopped. He hikes 8 miles to get to off company property. They start launching rockets. They get good at it. And everybody starts coming out and watching. But pretty soon, the police come and they arrest him and take him to jail because a rocket started a forest fire. And then his dad comes and says, I don't want to see you doing this anymore. And everybody comes down on his principal, everybody. And he's like, I give up. He quits and he goes to work for the mine. But then he has a little talk with his teacher, this woman, this blonde woman, and he's facing, I'm not good at math, the world's against me. And his teacher says, sometimes when it comes to that desire and what you're made for, you just gotta not listen to anybody. And I want to kind of end our time with this film clip from October Sky. Homer makes some decisions to try again. And look what he does here with his gifted desire when there's opposition and invalidation.
Man, it looks just like it in the picture.
Prodigious.
When do we go?
Give me that. What is this, a weapon of some kind?
No, sir, it's a rocket.
I don't allow dangerous devices on school grounds.
Mr. Turner, I asked Homer to bring that to school.
Showed in class.
You know, the boys are thinking about entering that county science fair.
Be careful, gentlemen. I'm gonna have my eye on you.
Thank you, Mr. Turner.
That science fair's rigged. All the judges are from Welch, so only the kids from Welch ever win.
And besides, science fairs are for geeks.
No offense, Quinn.
Well, it's too bad you feel that way. You know, the winners go on to the National Science Fair in Indianapolis, and colleges from all over the country hand out scholarships. It's great. Have a good lunch, boys.
College scholarships for winning a science fair?
Well, maybe it's not for you.
Well, what do you mean?
Homer, you got a great mind, but science requires math, which has never been one of your favorite subjects. Can't just dream your way out of Colwood, Homer.
Principles of guided missile design.
I had Miss Waters order it for you a while back and just came in. I know the math is too advanced for you. It is for me, too. There's calculus, differential equations.
No, I learned the math. This is great, Miss Riley. I learn everything. It's the best present anyone's ever given me. Thank you. Yeah, I'm gonna show the guys. Quint, Bobby, go crazy.
That's great. Turner. Where are you going?
Just.
Where'd you get this?
I gave it to him.
Vamos, Riley.
This equation out by yourself?
Well, if I did the math right, it proves that you can't.
It proves we didn't start that fire.
Quentin, what are you doing?
Natalie, Oct 13 was the only one that we couldn't find that day. And our best guess for fall time with the Oct 12, which is exactly identical, was about 14 seconds. If you help me with the trig part, Quentin, we should be able to make a good guess where that rocket landed.
Mr. Hayes, where are you all doing such a hurry?
Okay, everybody, back in your seats. Miss Stamp, Miss Blue, let's go, back in your seats. Mr. Hathcock. That goes for you too, Mr. Wilson. Miss Riley, what's going on in here?
They didn't start that fire, Mr. Turner.
In the first place, you are not a member of this classroom.
Neither are you, Mr. Turner. Why don't you let the boy defend himself?
And in the second place, this rocket proves nothing. You've already admitted having lost a number of your rockets. You cannot prove conclusively that another one of them didn't start that fire.
Yes, I can.
Oh. Are we to conclude, Mr. Hickam, that since leaving school, you've not only become an expert in rocket science, but in the field of trigonometry?
Go ahead, Homer.
Now, the fire was near Welch, just under 3 miles from our launch pad. And at the time of the fire, the best that we could do was 1.2 miles, which is exactly where we found that rocket, Mr. Turner.
See, Mr. Turner, that rocket fell for about 14 seconds, which means that it flew to an altitude of 3,000 feet. According to the equation, S equals 1/2 A-T squared, where S is the altitude, A is the gravity constant of 32, and T is the time it took for that rock to come back down. Velocity equals acceleration times time. Are you following this, Mr. Turner?
All right, we're all duly impressed. But do you mind telling me if you did not start that fire, who did?
What is it?
Whatever it is, it's ingenious. The fins are spring-loaded.
That isn't a rocket at all. It's an aeronautical flare. There's an airport here in Welch. It's right above where the fire started. Mr. Hickam, report to my office as soon as we return to school. You do intend to enter the county science fair, do you not?
Yes, sir, we do.
Well, if you intend to represent Big Creek, you're going to have to be enrolled as a student at Big Creek.
I love it. Here's where calling gets tricky, okay? Sometimes validation comes from God, but not from others. And the important thing to remember is that your giftedness is not your value. Your giftedness is not your value. Your gift, your worth must come from some other place than what you bring, or you'll never survive the weather of invalidation and validation. Because you're in an arena where you bring your gifting to the kingdom of God in good and bad weather. So your worth comes from Him, and you bring your gifting in whatever weather may come. And this is where you walk with God, because sometimes the invalidation of others is simply Satan's recruited them and the resistance is coming from the enemy. Sometimes it's because God's trying to tell you, this is not what I'm calling you to do. And sometimes it doesn't mean anything. How are you going to know? You're going to have to walk with God in that. But I can tell you this, with a church half full of people who know what their gifting is, and a third full, and my guess is if we took that half and that third and we asked those people, are you bringing it to the table for the church, for the kingdom, and for the world, a percentage of that third and half would say yes, and a percentage would say no. The bottom line is we're walking crippled. We're walking crippled. Last verse I want to show you is this, and it's quite an amazing passage. Delight yourself in the Lord. It's basically the same thing as seek first the kingdom of God. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you what? Kingdom first, desires of your heart second. And then look at this. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He'll do this. He'll make your righteousness shine like the dawn, and the justice of what? What's your cause? Your unique gifting. He'll bring the thing He's got called you to bring. It'll shine out. Starts with kingdom first, seeking the Lord first, trusting Him, risking in the direction of your gifted desire. So when I was 15 years old, I wanted to be a pilot. I grew up at Air Force Brat, Castle Air Force Base, flight line. I wanted to be a pilot, and when I was 15, I submitted that. I read this passage, and I said, God, I'm going to submit my desires to You. I invite You to rewrite my desires. I want to be a pilot, but I'm willing for You to change that. And so I said, I'll go where You want me to go. I'll say what You want me to say. I'll do what You want me to do. I'll be what You want me to be. I want to be a pilot, but I invite You to change my desires to be what You want them to be. And I, in 1 month, no longer wanted to be a pilot. It sounded boring, and being a pastor sounded like the most exciting job that I could ever have. And it is. How about you? Are you willing to delight yourself in the Lord? Are you willing to invite him to rewrite your desires? I invite you just to pray that with me right now. If you're at a place where you want to pray that, we'll end with it. Jesus, I submit to you. Just say that to him. And my longings to you. I invite you. I'll obey you. I'll follow you. I'll say what you want me to say. Go where you want me to go. Be what you want me to be. Do what you want me to do. Would you just change my desires to be your desires? Rewrite my desire. Make me want to do what you want more than anything. In the direction, Lord, of the gifting and calling that you put on my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If that's your prayer, I invite you to pray that again and again. But awesome. I will see you Tuesday at women's. I won't see you. And Wednesday at men's, I will see you. Have a good afternoon.